Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. I'm John Katsalamidas. I write the Cats Report in Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and I write for all of the titles in Greenspun Media Group, whether they like it or not. How's it going, Tricia McCrone?
It's going great because today's Cats' birthday! Woo!
It is.
Happy birthday, Cats!
It's my natal date.
Yes, it is.
Spending it with the people I love.
There you go. Well, I must say that I am so excited it's your birthday to celebrate you of all days. That we celebrate you every day, but our show is actually airing on your birthday, which
yes.
Makes me very, very happy.
Me, Justin Bieber, Ron Howard, Roger Daltrey, Harry Belafonte.
There you go. And to celebrate
Alan
your
Thicke.
Birthday,
Alan
Thicke. Speaking of Thicke, that thick head of hair that you have for your birthday, I'm going to be shaving it tomorrow.
This is no lie. I've been convinced that I should shave my head, or you should shave my head.
Yes, let's get this right. I will
on
be shaving
it. On Saturday, this is true, Saturday at 5 p.m. at New York Hotel Casino, we are going to be doing something for the St. Baldrick's Foundation, which is helps childhood cancer efforts to fight and create and raise money for combating childhood cancer, and Trish is going to shave my head amid photography, and some other celebrities are going to be on hand at that time. The big stuff happens between 4 and 6, and we're right in the middle of it. So that's tomorrow, Saturday,
well,
at New York, New York.
I think it is an incredibly. It's an amazing cause.
It is.
And if it was, you know, at first when you mentioned shaving your head, I'm like, no, don't do it. Because you, I mean, really, Katz, you have a great head of hair. I'm not just saying that because you are my friend and I love you. But I'm saying that because you do. You have amazing hair. And it is a big part of your persona. I'd like everybody's hair is, I guess.
Yeah,
but it's like, you are doing it for the right reason. It's very selfless and it's very giving and it's an incredible cause. And so I'm very proud of you.
Thank
As
you.
My friend, I'm very
and
proud of
And we all
you.
Should do something to help somebody.
Yes.
And the people at Curve and Dope Communications who are doing this, doing the promotional work, the PR work, pro bono for this event, convinced me that this would be a good use of my time. And I feel like it's the least amount of work you can do for the most gain. Probably in your whole life is just sitting there and having your head shaved. The challenge of it is walking around with a bald head afterwards.
There you go. Are you going to wear hats?
I'm bringing a hat that is, I'm probably going to be wearing, I'll be wearing a series of hats. The one hat I'm going to bring is the Cleveland Clinic Lugruvo Center for Brain Health and promote that, that cause because we are deeply involved in that.
And did you know I'm from Cleveland? I'm just kidding.
I didn't know.
Comes up in every show.
And I'll leave the line about brain research out of that.
Oh my goodness.
I kid, of course.
I'm very honored that you asked me to be the one to
do
this. I'm very honored to do that.
Yeah, I could think of nobody I would trust near my head more with sharp implements than Trish.
and also before we get into our show, and we'll talk about this more next week, but my cousin is a candidate for Pope.
We
will get into this later.
We
will
get
into
more
next week.
Campaign
but we
for
will do it.
Trish's
yes,
cousin.
Yes. My cousin, Cardinal Sean O'Malley out of Massachusetts, is on the short list for Pope. So
wow.
Hoping that wins.
Well, speaking of singing in unison, we have up
Gregorian chants.
Up next, after Josh Bell are the guys from Human Nature who just moved over to the Sand Showroom at the Venetian. They're going to sing not once but twice, so stick around. I know we will.
I'm Kyle Lauder.
I'm Justin Mortaliti.
I'm Carrie St. Louis from Rock of Ages, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah!
You're here.
You sound surprised.
Yeah, well, we're miles up and you're afraid of heights.
I'm not afraid. Just not wildly keen.
Fee, thaw, foe, and thaw.
Get out.
Like mankind, serve well done.
That's Nicholas Holt as the title character in Jack the Giant Slayer, along with Eleanor Tomlinson as the princess he's trying to rescue from a race of giants. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's going on in theaters this week. Jack the Giant Slayer is the latest example of Hollywood's current mania for reimagined fairy tales. It has a decent pedigree with director Bryan Singer behind the camera, but it still comes out as an utterly generic Hollywood product, easily envisioned by plugging Jack and the Beanstalk and action blockbuster into a theoretical screenplay generator. The plot mechanics aren't really relevant. The magic beans are planted, the giant beanstalk grows, and humble farm boy Jack climbs toward the kingdom of the giants. With its paint-by-numbers plot and dull characters, Jack the Giant Slayer is like a sci-fi miniseries with better special effects. I give Jack the Giant Slayer 2.5 stars out of 5. If you watched last weekend's Academy Awards ceremony and are curious to check out some of the big winners, they're all still in local theaters. I'd personally recommend Silver Linings Playbook, the great romantic comedy with Bradley Cooper and Best Actress winner Jennifer Lawrence, as well as Steven Spielberg's Lincoln, which won a Best Actor Award for Daniel Day-Lewis. You can also check out Best Picture winner Argo, which is available on DVD but is definitely worth seeing in the theater. You can also catch Best Supporting Actor winner Christoph Waltz in Quentin Tarantino's very entertaining Django Unchained. And Life of Pi, which won the Best Director Award for Ang Lee, is opening in a few extra theaters this weekend to take advantage of the award. That's a look at what's going on in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now are the new headliners at a place called the Sands Showroom at a hotel called the Venetian. They are collectively known as Human Nature. Individually, they are known as Toby Allen, Mike Tierney, Andrew Tierney, and Phil Burton. Welcome back to the show, mates.
G'day.
G'day.
Before we go any further.
Yes.
Clear John, this up. Mike's got something to tell you.
Mike?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cats. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's the best serenade you're ever going to get in your entire life, for the record.
It's all downhill from here. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you're a pleasure.
We'll pay you out of the KUNV kitty.
That was beautiful.
That was cool. That was
gorgeous.
Cool.
Wow.
I'll send that to my mom.
Oh, she'll be thrilled.
She will be thrilled.
She will be thrilled.
Saves her from singing.
So now you guys have this amazing show.
It's my birthday today.
Yes, it is Katz's birthday, as we discussed a little bit in host chat.
Hence the singing.
But so now let's talk about the new show.
You guys liked it?
We got to see it last Friday.
Yep, we got to see it
last week. And it is incredible. As always, you guys are incredible. So how did this whole move take place from the IP?
We'd been at the IP for 3.5 years at the end of last year. And it was fantastic there. You know, it was our start here in Vegas. And we got great word of mouth on the show and just really enjoyed being there. But our contract was up. And the Venetian were interested in us being at their property. Chris Yancey, the head of entertainment there, had seen the show a few times and just loved what we were doing. And we just felt it was the right time for us to make some changes to the show. And very few people get the chance to move uptown here in Vegas. So we had that opportunity and we just couldn't say no. So we went at the Sound Showroom and made a lot of changes to the show. And we're just so excited that we did that.
When you were at IP, about this time, they started making plans to change over to Link. They started doing a lot of construction.
It's called the Quad at Link. I'll get sued if I say Imperial Palace because I can't use that anymore.
How did I miss this?
At one point, the title changed and everything, but they started a renovation on the property as you were still performing there. How did the Venetian conversation fit into that reality?
It kind of all happened around the same time. You know, that we'd heard where that the Venetian were interested but at the time we were happy at the IP/Quad, the IP back then. And, you know, they were talking about all these grand plans to change it. And we thought that was great. But then once that all started, once all the renovation started, it really kind of hurt us quite a bit.
We actually couldn't find our way to the theater. Yeah. I mean, that was the biggest difficulty.
If the act can't find their way to the theater, good luck to the fans, right?
I'm sure that in the end, the Quad is going to be quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just with all that renovation, I mean, we just needed to take care of what's important to us. And this offer from the Venetian was just too good to refuse. They've really looked after us.
We love gondolas.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good
this thing
yeah.
for gondoliers.
Who you guys doesn't? Fun. Yeah,
would you do it?
Would
you
amazing.
Be a gondolier for the for a day? Any of you guys?
No.
For an hour, maybe.
It was funny. My mum and dad have been here recently, and they took a gondola ride. And one of the gondola singers was obviously singing, and my parents explained who they were, and just this guy was saying, how did they get that booking? I've been singing in this gondola for 10 years. And I'm just like, do they know someone? And mum just... I thought, well, they didn't start in gondolas.
She should have said they started at, all four of them were gondoliers.
Yes, they
started
were all on gondoliers. Land. That's how they met.
The poor dreaming. Guys thinking that one day Sheldon Adelson will get into that gondola and say, buddy, I'm going to build you a showroom.
And we all know that Sheldon Adelson rides the gondolas daily, yes. I'm sure.
That's how he gets to work, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'll
yeah.
be Cirque de Gondola within the new show.
But seriously, you guys, when you're over there, you're presented an idea to go over to the Venetian. What was your first, how did they propose it to you? What in what way did they come to you and say, we want you to come over and this is the offer? Did they just say, we want you to come over? Will you talk to us?
Or they'd actually been, specific? they knew that, I think they knew that we were sort of coming up to contract time as well. And they'd actually been really interested in the first place, like before we even started in Vegas. They were really keen.
Oh, they
to
were,
get,
yeah, they were. When you signed at IP,
yeah,
they were in.
So they were actually, okay. Our producer was talking to them as well, and it didn't work out. You know, I don't think they had a room available. And so they'd actually, you know, been interested in us for a while. And, you know, they were very keen to get a Venetian version of the show. They didn't really know how to specify what it was that they wanted. But after they saw our show that we've now put on at the Venetian, they're like, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's what we wanted. We wanted a newer version of our show, yeah. and they're really, really blown away.
Well, rugs that have been vacuumed, that's one thing. a stage that doesn't shake.
I was just about to say, that was always crazy when we would see you at... the other place, we'll just start calling it, that literally, because everybody's on their feet for the last 15 minutes of the show, pretty much, singing and dancing and just having, it's just a big party at the end yeah. of your show. And it would be like, everything would be happening, and all of a sudden, especially on that row where I guess I always sat, where the booths were, all of a sudden, you would feel your entire body just shaking up and down, and you think at any moment that an earthquake is going to happen, and you're kind of like, this is like a Disneyland ride, one of those interactive games, because
and I'm going to land on the roulette table downstairs.
It would be like, you don't know if the floor is going to come out for underneath you, and yet you're being entertained, so you don't want to sit down. I mean, it was kind of a crazy thing.
When we were shooting our PBS special, we actually had to shoot it down at Paris,
because right. yeah.
they literally couldn't have cameras in the room because they would have had to go through and fix all the footage.
Oh my yeah. gosh.
It always helped people.
Which was
know
a great
rhythm,
special,
though.
By the way, you guys.
Thank you.
That was a great
Thank
special.
You. Thank
was
you.
Really
I wish I'd seen it.
We'll get you a DVD
for your birthday.
I watched it.
That's right. Yeah, bring it next year, a year from today. So, yeah, how do you, if you can go through the steps of how you spiffed up the show, what did you work on first? Because it was a show that worked, and yeah. it worked really well at mm-hmm. IP.
Oh, thank
it, you know, we kind of were being fun with the venue, but it did work there.
Yeah, it was yeah. fantastic.
And now you come into this new theater, and you have to be different. You have to be somewhat. You have to improve it somehow. What was the first thing you worked on?
I think that was the biggest challenge for us. Really, is I mean, we knew we wanted to, you know, refresh the show, but also the theater itself at the Venetian it presented some challenges as well. It's a smaller stage, and there's no space above the stage. You can't fly things in, and the side of stage is limited as well. So we really kind of had to think about the best ways to. We wanted to improve the show, but we also wanted to. You know, we wanted to keep what was great about it mm-hmm. at the other place as well.
So we can say it used to be called the Imperial Palace.
The former
IP. It's just a lot of words.
As long as I'm not trying to book rooms there, I think we're all right.
We had Casino formerly known as. Yeah. There
we
go.
We had a few great
the
ideas.
Symbol, the symbol.
And some people to help us with it. You know, we incorporated screen element into the show, which
right.
is... allowed us to do some really cool things with some old footage and some new things that we filmed as well. But it's it's exciting having that kind of background and being able to use that. I mean, I think people come to almost expect that high level of production now in shows as well. So,
but you know what I like about you guys is that it's not about the production.
Yeah,
that it's about your talent mm-hmm. and it's about what you guys True. Do. I mean, because for me, I guess maybe I've become a little. Jaded in the fact that we have the Cirque things and everything flying. Like, I just like to see people up there, and I appreciate this with Tim McGraw and
Faith Hill.
That it's not like, I mean, I don't, not to put down any show, but I don't need like horses or flying people or anything coming in. I mean, it literally, I want to see talented people entertaining. And so, and that really is something that you guys don't need like extra dancers flying in or anything. Yeah. You guys are amazing on your own.
Actually, the horse wouldn't come out the night of the opening.
it was stuck on that
ramp.
The unicorn that you guys brought in. But the elephant.
In a horse costume. Yeah,
there you go. But it's, I mean, but the one new thing that I love, and we're going to give props to our friend Andy Walmsley, is your set.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Because
he's got a great job.
Guys do so much choreography and you had more room in the other one. I mean, you guys literally do your choreography around the set. So that the choreography had to change, right? In all of this?
We had to work on it quite a bit because, yeah, like Mike said, it's a smaller stage and also it's a different shape stage to what your typical theatre stage is. But Andy's great. He's really creative. He's got his own look as well. But we wanted a blend of what he does and what we do as well. So he was really collaborative and I think he's really proud of the set too because it's not a typical Andy Walmsley set and it's not just Human Nature. It's this real great combination.
How did the creative conversation go? This is something I didn't ask either side of this. When somebody had, like Andy wanted to do something with this stage, did he have to come to you guys and get some sort of approval beforehand? You know, like if he wanted to add platforms and all that stuff, he has to come to the
performers,
right? Well,
we had ideas, obviously, how we want to start the show or end the show. So there's certain things we needed for the stage to be able to do for us. We needed to have a level we could dance on. But it was a different... a guy that we've worked with for years, Australian guy, David Rudder, who's our production manager and really is the kind of fifth creative wheel in what everything we do. He was really actively involved with Andy on the set design as well. So
I mean, you guys even use the top of the piano as part of your...
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that the piano is part of your choreography, like it's a part of your stage, part of the set, is incredible.
We needed every available square inch of stage to be able to move on.
Well, you guys don't stop. I mean, you guys are constantly moving and constantly singing. But I wanted to throw that in there because it added just such... I mean, I've seen you guys so many times. And if you guys wouldn't have changed one thing, to me, the show is perfect the way...
Thank you very much.
But for you guys to even make it even better... had to have been quite a feat, and I love the way you guys did it.
It was great. You know, that was part of the reason why we're so excited about making a move as well, was because it really forced us to get creative. And like particularly like Andrew said, the limitations of the production of that stage was we actually had to really think, how are we going to change things up? We don't have things that we can fly in and out.
Yeah.
Fair enough, we've got screens, but you don't want to use them for every song because that gets boring. And so we... Yeah, thought about things like the piano and bringing the piano downstage as well and bringing the band out, you know, from the set and some of those things. So it really forced us to think of new ways to do things that we've done a lot before.
And I love that you put original music in.
Oh, cool.
That was great. Oh,
thank you.
That too. That's
we have great. The one. It's one song, one original tune. That you
That's
do,
right.
Drop
Every
in
Time You Cry, which we recorded back in Australia, and it was a big hit for us back there.
It's very Motown-esque. It slides right in there.
It does fit pretty perfectly. So we always thought that would be one thing that was very important, that we could show a bit of our history, not just through the photos we show in the show and telling stories, but actually some music to prove it as well.
Right.
And that song, it just fits really well. We weren't quite sure about it. I remember we did an interview with Mike Weatherford for the Review Journal just before the show.
What paper? We have John Katsimatis, right? No kidding.
Did he fall asleep on you? He's known to doze off. I'm just asking.
No, but I remember Andrew said to him, we're putting an original in the show. And he said, oh, really? You are? And Andrew said, well, it'll be in the first show anyway. Because we had no idea how it was going to go down. But it's going down really well. The crowd seemed to like it. So
when I interviewed Smokey Robinson and Mike didn't, he said he was in favor of the original team. Anyway.
I have to say, before we go on, Phil, I have to say this, that you guys always joke about four white Aussies singing Motown. I swear, I have like the biggest crush on your voice. And the fact that if you close your eyes, I literally think that you are not a white Aussie guy.
Ah, thanks very much. That's really nice.
I put it on.
He does. He's got like this soul. Like you guys have such unique voices and amazing. But it literally, if I close my eyes, I literally don't. I believe I'm speaking.
Would you like the rest of us to leave and we'll dim the lights and light out? Or?
No, seriously, I was listening. Fine. I actually closed my eyes for a second. I'm like, your voice just kills me. It's
just don't do this if you're listening in your car.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Well,
thank
you. Driving.
It's a platonic voice.
No,
crush,
thank you so much.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, but other changes are, now that I'm in the girly thing, is Toby and Andrew, you guys have buffed up.
Have we?
Yes. You guys look different.
Yeah, both these guys have been
like, you
out.
Look, yeah. Like, Toby looks leaner and buffer, and Andrew, you're like... Like, I picked this stuff up.
But I'm wearing
a
suit.
Since I see you.
Oh, that was after the party.
No, I saw on stage. I picked it up on stage. So it, part of your downtime, did you kind of
Oh, no,
hit
we're not into
it.
I'm a gym junkie, so I go there all the time. I see you there all the time, Kat.
This is... Have you seen me at the gym?
No.
Not my gym, you haven't. What gym do you go to?
Gold's on Easton.
LBAC. I just kind of wander around drinking smoothies and
looking at the girls,
giving the girls a break. Yeah,
and I have to talk about Mike too, whereas
really
Mike
winded.
Is just perfect.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Mike, you didn't need to change at all because you're just perfect.
Oh,
I didn't mention you, and you're just. And by the way, I love the bit that they do with you about from when you were a young little boy. Is a highlight for me. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I had to throw
it's
that in.
It's funny because that's you talk about 20 years ago, but it's only 1993. It doesn't seem like that vintage, but when you look at the clip, it is very dated. Of you guys 20 years ago.
23, yeah.
You know, it's funny how that how you become
it's funny how
years older.
Red braces and butter hats date. Like,
yeah.
Who would have ever thought that that would date?
It's all about the execution, right? It's all about the execution.
That is awesome.
Let me ask you about the formula that's worked for you guys, the Motown connection, the singing to those songs, that whole, you know, that works for you. And it has worked for you for a long time, and it's working in Las Vegas. Have you had the conversation within the group of how one day you might expand beyond that? We've talked about this before, and do another variety of music, some different, you know, a different era, genre, your own stuff. How you're going to, because I don't know, do you want to do Motown songs for the rest of your careers together?
I think Motown songs are always going to be a big part of our career. And this, you know, we've actually been doing just Motown since 2006 now. We had a few years of it in Australia before we came to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, we're certainly not bored with it. It's just amazing music. So we had that original career back home in Australia where we did original music. And then we did
not
Motown.
Just a career. You guys had a huge career. I mean,
oh,
it
you.
Was, you know, it was, you guys were, yeah, you performed at the Olympics.
Well.
You guys were basically the NSYNC in Australia.
Oh, thank you.
No, you were. No, my friends in Australia were all, when I first was meeting you guys, they were all like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they were
literally freaking out. No, seriously. So, I mean, just to say you guys performed in Australia, you guys were, you guys were like, it. I mean, you were the huge group in Australia.
We were
so.
Huge.
We're
down
doing well.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah, so, I mean, so to just, I wanted to clarify
so,
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. No, so we did Motown because it was sort of going back to our roots in Australia. We wanted to show people how, like, what the music that influenced us when we started. So then that brought us here. It's like a second career that we've had. So I think all of us would really like to maybe do some more originals or do something different, but we're certainly in no rush to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So because the Motown thing is just so much fun for us still. And we're not getting bored. It's not feeling tired to us. So obviously in the future we will try and branch out and do a few new things, but who knows what that is at the moment. But, and
yeah.
Yeah, as I said, there's no rush really to sort of jump into it.
What about branching off individually? Has any of you at any point during the course of your collective career thought, you know what, I'd like to take a break. I'd like to record on my own. I'd like to explore some other avenue. Whether you're going
to
come back or
not. I've been wanting to leave for 21 years, but they won't let me.
It really shows.
They won't let me.
There are sometimes, Phil, when you're just going through the motions.
it's so boring. It's been boring for me for 21 years. No, just kidding.
Well, considering Andrew and Michael brothers, that would have to be difficult if you guys, like one of you guys would go off solo.
Yeah,
wouldn't
I
that
mean,
be a little...
When we were in Australia, Toby did he starred in Cabaret, a musical. Yeah. And so
and Dancing with the Stars in Australia,
too,
yeah.
Yes. So there's kind of those things... And had fitted in with what we were doing, the schedule wise, but
schedule, I love it.
It was kind of, you know, it was different for us back then. We'd release an album, do touring, and then have some time off. But now we're in Vegas. It's constantly going. So we'd have to almost take a break from what we're doing here to do that. It would be difficult, but we don't have this kind of policy where you can't bring a new idea to the table. And if you want to do something by yourself, we'd kind of welcome it. But it kind of feels right now that. Almost being at the Venetian, we're almost starting again in a weird way.
Yeah, right.
Now, Mike, do you guys have another brother?
No, we got an older sister.
Okay, because I was going to say, if there was another brother, we would really feel left out at this one.
Why didn't you take me with you?
The lost tyranny.
They have a brother they don't talk about.
There you go. So how are you guys? I mean, now you guys have been here a long time. You are Las Vegans.
Yeah.
How have you guys like adjusted to that?
Oh, look, I love it. You know, it's I keep on finding more and more things that I love about Vegas, you know, new things to discover. And somebody said the other day that being here for 4 years, it was like we were here longer than, was it 70% or something of the population? Like some,
I just said you were natives practically when you passed the four-year mark.
Right.
And you feel like you've run the clock that many times. It's a very transit in a city full of new residents. So it's easier to get acclimated. Because
I remember our trumpeter, Dan, telling us when we first started here, because we were just so excited, we're going out. Every Friday night or our last night, we'd go to a new club or something, and he'd say, oh, it'll get old after about 5 years. And then not that it's got old, but I can now see what you mean. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the Strip differently. It's an amazing place to visit, but it's not.
It's
you know,
work.
Your home is
it's work.
Is out where you live in your houses, and it's getting to that 5 year point, and it really does feel like home. It's crazy.
Yeah, when you're walking through the casino and you really don't notice the machines as much anymore. It's just part of the landscape. That's when it sort of starts clicking in that this is the place where you live and not where you're spending 3 days.
Yeah, and when visitors come and, I didn't realize that you kind of drive down the Strip. I hadn't seen one of our new billboards on the Strip. I just hadn't been that part of the Strip for a while, like maybe for a year.
Right. So, yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And you guys are going to be going back home this year a few times, right? Back to Australia?
Yeah, we've been lucky, you know, every year we get to go back to Australia. You know, we spent pretty much the whole month of December, like the end of last year, we did some Christmas shows in Australia and with symphony orchestras around the country and also getting to spend Christmas with our families. And now we get some gigs, we get booked back there to come back and do things. And it's also important for us to go back and keep doing shows for our Australian fans as well. So that's always going to be part of our year, is making time to go back to Australia and not only see family, but do performances as well.
And you guys tour, because I know I was, I think it was in November or October, I was in Miami for a charity thing and I was just hanging out. And it seemed like there was a radio on at the pool, and constantly I kept hearing that you guys were doing an extended run in Florida. You guys had so much publicity for it, and I was like, it was so cool being there. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, I hear their advertisements here too. Like, they come with me wherever I go.
Was that fun?
Platonically.
Platonically, I could not get away from that. So now, was that fun?
We were at the Hard Rock over there in Florida, and we did about, was it a week of shows there?
Yeah, six shows.
It's great, and you know, that's something we'd like to do more of as well, getting out across the country and doing some more shows in other places apart from Vegas, because just to, you know, build on our name in this country, you know, it's a it takes a lot of work, you know. You've got to get such a big place, you got to get out there and do so. But we had a great time over there. The shows went really well.
Well, we're happy that you are home here.
Absolutely. And we have reached the end of the line. I feel kind of bad now asking them to sing again after they sang earlier. But can
it
you
doesn't
do
it? Get any better than a birthday song for you.
It does not.
You
can't beat that.
Can you do a little Tracks of My
Tears?
Actually,
when people see the show, we've...
Whatever you want to do.
Pleasing highlights of the show, we've put a duet with Smokey.
Yes.
And we do Tracks of My Tears.
That's
a
cool thing.
We found this old footage of him from... might even be 1960, like the early 60s from a Detroit TV show, where he sang the song with the Miracles. And we've turned it into a duet with us. We got his original vocal from how he sang it back then and the footage. And when Smokey saw it for the first time in our show, he cried, because it must be weird seeing yourself on stage as a kid, or, you know, for him, he would have been, I don't know, how old would he be?
About 21
years. Yeah, 21. Wow. Early 20s for sure.
And it's this song that's defined his career and here the show that he's presenting, and now we're doing it with him. He was really moved.
It's a cool moment.
And it was it's one of the moments that I think is, we didn't have that moment in the show at the IP. So it's nice to know that we've now got moments that are even have kind of moved the show on.
Yeah,
so
that's how you keep it warm. You keep the show warm that way.
So could we have a little singing on the way out?
Sure. Yep. Sure. Okay, we'll give you a little bit of it with some iPhone technology.
Okay.
Here we go.
1, 2, 3. So take a good look at my face. You see my smile looks out of place. If you look closer, it's easy to trace the tracks of my tears.
It gets no better than that, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
Human nature.
But,
to see more, you have to go to the Venetian, to the Sands Theater.
Sands Showroom Venetian. Thanks, gentlemen. We'll do
it
again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.